Now we're holding on Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, the fifth line. The Gemara has been dealing with how we know, said in the Mishnah, Beis Shammai had said that by, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel both agreed that by most korbanos, even though you have most korbanos, you have Shei Matanos, Shei Nav, or two applications of blood to the Mizbeach, but Beis Shammai agrees with, and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel agree that by most korbanos, if you did B'dievet only one, then the korban is kosher. But when it comes to a chatos, then the Shammai holds. You need at least two, and the Hillel holds one by a chatos is also good enough. So we were discussing how does Bishil, where does the Hillel get their opinion from? So we discussed because where the Shammai and the Hillel get their opinions from, respectively. It says a bunch of times by different types of chatos. It says the word karnos. Do we darshan it as a bunch of plurals because we read each one karnos, or do we darshan some of them as singular because they're written in the Torah without the vav? And the Gemara had gone through the whole calculation how that would work according to Beis Shammai and according to Beis Hillel. Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. So the Gemara continues. But Tana Maisel Amahacha. A Tana brings the source for Beis Hillel's opinion from the following. Again, you have three different types of chatos that the Torah describes. You have where, so chatos of, the chatos chitzoynis, that is. You have chatos of pnimius that the Torah describes, the par helam davashal tzibur, and the seire avadizara, and all that. Vatana maisil amahacha. So you have all those, but we're not dealing with those. Afterwards, the Torah goes on and describes, you have the case where the king does an Avera and has to bring a Chatos. You have where the Yochid has to bring, and there's two possibilities. Either he brings a goat or a sheep. And the Torah, each one spells out the details of what you would have to do in each of those cases. So by each one, it says, v'chiper. So v'chiper, v'chiper, v'chiper. It says three times by each one, v'chiper olav akoyin, and v'chiper olav akoyin, and he'll be forgiven. So now, why does it say so many times v'chiper? Mipnei hadin, because otherwise you would have thought to learn as follows. You would have thought to think that all of the matonis are ma'akiv. You would think as follows: Valadin, nemru domin l'mata, but nemru domin l'mayla. Here, the Torah is telling us in some cases that you put the blood on the mizbeach below the chutasikra, the below the red line around the mizbeach. Most korbanos, except for a chata, most the rule is that a chatas behema and an olas ha'oif go above the line. All the other ones, olas ha'oif, and all other korbanos of behema go below the line. So you have the Torah tells us in some cases that you put blood below on the bottom half of the mizbeach, the nemu damim l'mayla, and then you also have here by chatas behema where the Torah tells us to put blood on the top half of the mizbeach. Ma matan damim hamur l'mata. So given just like we've already established that if you put only one application of blood on the bottom half, shnos matana achas, the ones which are supposed to be on the bottom half, shtei matanas shtei abra, and if you did only one, then the Yevid Yoyotze, the Gemara yesterday had on the previous daf, had learned it from Psukim, from the Pasuk that says, V'dam Zvachachi Yishofet, that you can pour, that you pour the blood of your korbanos, implying that just one pour is enough. So even though B'matah Shanos B'matana Achas Keeper, he's nevertheless Machaper, Ath Jamma Murumayla Shanos B'matana Achas Keeper, therefore we can do by Mamatsinu, by Binyan Av, we would say the same thing applies to the top half. So, on the face of it, the Torah should not have to tell us, so we should be able to derive it logically. The problem is, on the other hand, you could go in a different direction. The Torah also tells us there are certain karbanos where the blood has to be sprinkled inside the heichel. The karbanos of Yom Kippur, the par helam davar shel tzibur, etc. And when it comes to the ones inside, there, if you leave out even one of the matonis, then it's nothing. Later on in the parak, the Gemara is going to derive, we had said this in the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to learn it from Psukim later on, that we say in morning davening, matona achas mehen me'akobis. So every one of them has to be done, so you would think, by the same logic then, the ones that are done on the outer mizbeach also, maybe if you miss even one, then it's no good. Rashi, by the way, points out that here, when the Braisa first started saying that you could think to learn from the Damim HaTachtonim to Damim HaYonim, that just like the ones on the bottom half of the Mizbeach, one pour is enough, the same way you would think that the ones on the top half, even though the Pasuk says Damim Zvachachi Yishofich, the fact is, by a Chatas, you don't do Shricha in the first place. Made up by other Korbanos, you do Zricha. You take the basin full of blood and throw the blood towards the Mizbeach. So therefore, you could argue that Shricha is sort of the same kind of thing. We might have discussed that previously on Daf Lamed Zayin, but Chatos definitely not, because the Torah clearly says that you have to dip your finger in and daub it on the four corners. So you couldn't learn it directly from that, but still, we would have thought to learn it by Mamatzinu, but on the other hand, maybe we should instead learn it from a Chatos Apnimis and say that every one is Ma'akiv. Okay, so the Braisa says, Nira l'midoyna. Well, let's see which one the Chatos Chitzona more resembles. Donin Chutz Mechutz. Logically, we're going to learn a korban that takes place on the outer Mizbeach from another korban that takes place on the outer Mizbeach. Once we've established that an Olo, Shlomim, or what have you, is one Matana is good enough for the Yeved, and those take place on the Mizbeach HaChitzon, so the same thing should be true as far as the Chatas Chitzona as well. So therefore... rather than learning it from something that takes place inside the Heichel, which is a whole different type of korban. So we have more reason to say that one Matan of the Dievin should be good enough. But, on the other hand, you could argue the other way around, maybe better, we should be learning from, it's also a chatas, Ola and Shlomim, and whatever, are not a chatas. A chatas, a pnimis, is after all a chatas, it's just the blood is brought into the heichel. And you have both by the ones inside and the ones outside, the blood is applied to the four corners of the mizbeach. The difference is, the ones inside it's the mizbeach hazahav, the ones outside it's the mizbeach hachitzon. But you'd have more reason maybe to learn from that. And therefore, what do you think? Why are you thinking to learn from other korbanos? Granted, they take place on the outer mizbeach, but they're not a chatas, they're a different type of korban. And there's no four korbanos. The maximum you do with any of them is shtei matanos, shtei arba, on two opposite corners. So therefore, maybe we should learn from the chatas apnimis and say that every one of the matanos is ma'akiv. So why don't we do that? So now we're stuck. We could think to learn it one way, we could think to learn it the other way. Therefore, that is why Talmud Lomar v'chiper 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 v'pnei adin. That is why now we understand why the Torah has to repeat that word v'chiper so many times. Because otherwise we wouldn't know which direction to learn. Therefore, we go as follows. The first v'chiper that he atones means afakishal and nasan ala shalish. Even if he only did three out of the four applications, here the Torah is telling us that he has to put it on all four corners, but the Torah is telling us even if he did only three, don't worry, he's still v'chaker. The next v'chiper teaches afakishal and nasan ala shayim. Even if he only did three of them. And the third one, v'chiper afakishal and nasan el achas. And the third one teaches us that even if he only did one of them. So therefore, those three v'chipers, in effect, are mute. To say, or rather you could say they're a ribui, that either way you have kapara, even if not all the matonis were done. So that could be, that sort of, but Isa says, that is where Bissel gets, that one matonis, even by a chatas, is enough. The question is, behind me, boiler, the gufe. What do you mean? Don't we need those words, the chiper, each one, the gufe, to tell us that when he brings the korban, then Hashem forgives him for the avera? The answer is Rava says Bar Adam Mori as Rabbi Bar Adam Mori, that was his name, explained to me that the reason why we don't need that is because Amakrav Chiper the Nislach Loi, because in each one of these psukim it says afterwards that he will be forgiven. So therefore, so the Nislach Loi means that he's forgiven for the avera. So therefore, we learn from that. Zuri kapara. Now, zuri kapara. Zuri slicha. Now, kapara and slicha are basically the same thing. So you don't need the word v'chiper by each one of them. And therefore, we can learn that he's machaper even if he didn't do all the matanis. There is technically a difference between kapara and slicha. Strictly speaking, slicha just means a pardon. Like, okay, you did wrong, but I'll give you a break and I'll pardon you, as opposed to v'chiper really means to cover or to wipe away the aveira. So there is a nuance of difference between them, which is why, for example, in davening, we distinguish them. Etc. But nevertheless, in terms of the fact is the person has brought the korban and now Hashem forgives him, there's enough of a commonality between them that didn't need to say both, and therefore we can say the word v'chiper each time is being used for this drasha. Okay, still, the Gemara asked, maybe we could take it a different way. Maybe not. Maybe it means like this. Again, the blood of the chatas is supposed to be done on the top half of the mizbeach. So maybe the Torah is not telling us that you can leave out some of the matones of a chatas, but maybe it's telling us that you can put some of them in the wrong place. So maybe we should say the first v'chipper teaches even if he only did three above, and then he went and did one of them on the bottom half of the mizbeach, then nevertheless it would still be kosher. The second one would teach us v'chipper achvish le'nosan el shtayim l'mata v'achas el shtayim l'mayla. The second one would be two below and two above. And the third one, v'chipper achvish le'nosan l'mayla el l'mata. And the third one would be, even if you didn't put any of them on the top half of the mizbeach, only on the bottom half. So maybe we're learning that way. Maybe at least all the applications have to be done, but they have to at least they can be done in the wrong place of the mizbeach. So if it said four of them, the fact is you have to have at least one of them has to be above. Rashi explained that is why actually the on the face of it, when we go through this possibility over here, we're saying maybe there were three above, maybe there were two above. Why isn't the next logical thing would be to say maybe if there's one above? That's why Rashi says because. There's no question you'd have to have one above, not to take it away entirely, but then the last of the chippah would mean maybe if all of them are below. Tosfos discusses in more detail why the Gemara does that, why it doesn't say that the first chippah would tell us that maybe you could have three of them below, the second one two below, and the third one below. So Tosfos discusses that maybe when we talk about, first of all, when we talk about that you do, let's say, two below, it doesn't actually mean two separate applications of blood. It would mean achas shishayim. So maybe, for example, he would go up to the top half of his mizbeach, do it on two of the kronos, then he would go below and take the basin and dash the blood against the corner of the mizbeach, like he does by an ola and a shlomim and most of the other korbanos. So it would be achas shishayim. And then the chipper would mean, and then the last chipper would mean maybe if he does shtei matanas shein arba like he does by the blood of most other korbanos. Achas l'mayda v'sholosh l'mata. Then how would you do it exactly? You would have the you would do one above, and then how would you do the two below exactly? You would have to do it one which is shayim, and then one. So therefore, the Gemara doesn't bring that up as a possibility. Tosfos goes on to say it. In other words, because then there would be too much difference. The Gemara is not entertaining the possibility that there could be so much difference. Mela, to do most of it above, which is supposed to, by chatas, all of them are supposed to be done above. Mela, to do most of them above, fine. So you could either have three above and only one below, or you could have two above and then one below, which breaks up into two because it's on a corner of the mizbeach. Fine. That the Gemara can entertain the possibility. To say that you should have all of them below, shtei matanas shtei arba, fine. At least we find that by other quotes. Bonus, but to have one of them above and then three of them below, no matter how you break up those three, the Gemara is not even taking up that possibility because that's too much of a difference. You never find such a thing by any other korban. Then Tosfos goes on to explain Rashi, Rashi's explanation of the Gemara, that since we're saying that the Gemara is assuming that if the third of the chipper comes to tell us that conceivably you could have three below, well then if most of it is kosher, even the matzah, then maybe all of it should be kosher the matzah. So therefore the Gemara doesn't even bother mentioning the possibility of one above and three below, because everybody, let's just skip to all of them below. If most of them are going to be kosher below, then maybe even all of them are kosher below. Anyway, so why don't we say that? Why don't we say again that at least we have to have, there do have to be four applications of blood by a chatas. All it is we can do them in a different way. We can do some of them above and some of them below, or even all of them below. So why don't we do that? And the answer is Amar Vadvei Sotim Ken Bitalta Turdas Abba Kronis, because then you're being mevatel the whole concept of putting it on the four Kronis. The Torah is saying that the Torah each time by the Chata says you have to put the blood on the counters of Mizbeach, on the horns. If you're going to tell me you could do it however you want, and you could do it even all of them on the bottom half where they're nowhere near the Kronis at all, if you're going to say that, then there's no reason for the Torah to insist each time by the chatas that you need the four kronos. So the Gemara says, okay, so what? V'yirach mana amar, fine. But if the Torah says that you could do that, libatlun, fine, so let them be batel. Who cares? You could say that you're supposed to put it on the kronos l'mitzvah. The proper way to do it would be to put it on the kronos. But b'di'evet, even if you put it all on the bottom half of the mizbeach, shtei matanos shtei arba, then it's fine. Why don't we say that? But then still say again that you do need four matanos. The four matonis can be done on the two opposite corners, like you do by most korbanos. So it'll still go on all four sides of the mizbeach. But how do we know where we're getting that? Just doing one matana and not even doing the other three, it's still kosher. So the answer is Amar Rava Ezehu Drava Shetzarich Sholish, because the answer is like this: What is the case for which the Torah has to say three times V'chipper rather than four? Have an Eilu Kronis. Necessarily, that must be to reduce the number of Kronis. So in other words, if it said four times V'chipper, it would mean you're taking away all of them. But then, what are you going to do at all? The Korban has to have the blood applied somewhere to them, as they have to be kosher. But that is exactly why the reason why the Torah gives us specifically three V'chippers, no more, no less, is to tell us to take out three out of the four.
There are more possibilities.
The point is, in other words, Rava is saying, if it meant to say that all of them could be Lamata and none of them need to be Lamaila, but you do have to have four, then the Torah should have written four times.
Right.
And we would have said that it means all four Matonis that were supposed to be Lamaila, instead now we're allowing you to do them Lamata. But by not doing that, instead by saying three, we mean of the ones Lamaila, we're not even talking about doing Lamasta, but of the ones being done, Lamaila on the top half of them is there, three out of the four of them can be left out, and there's still no issue. So we can learn it that way. Still, the Gemara asks, "Aim of the chipper after shalai nasin al achas lamayla v'sholosh lamasa." Fine. Still, maybe the three times the chipper means again that you do have to have three of them, that you do have to have four applications of blood, but one of them can be above and three of them can be below. So still, how do we know it means that you can leave them out altogether? And here again, Tosfos goes through and explains back and forth what the according to their explanation before about the Shtayim Lamata could conceivably be on one corner of Matana Achas Shin Shtayim. So we're doing the same kind of thing. Rava is saying, why would you need three v'chippers? Your argument would be that on the face of it, two v'chippers should be enough, because again, you don't need a pasuk to say that you can have one above and three below, because there's no logic to say that you should be able to have most of them below. So in that case, even if you have three above, one below, you really also wouldn't need a pasuk for it, because again, it's not like you never have sort of thing by any other korban. That's not the way it's done by the other korban, but maybe that's exactly why the three v'chippers are that. And therefore the answer is that, and so now the Gemara gives a different answer. We never find by any korban where half the blood or part of the blood is placed on the top half, on the kronos, and half of it, lamata, below the chutas lichra. So there's no reason to say that the pasuk is telling us any such idea that you should be able to do such a thing. Necessarily, it must mean only that you can leave out matonis, not move them to a different part of the mizbeach altogether.
So it's only possibilities that happen in other korbanos.
Basically, unless we find something, and if the pasuk tells us something new by a korban, okay, this applies newly by this korban and not by anything else. The Torah spells it out. But to derive and to learn from extra rebuyim and the pasuk,
the korban is used by other korbanos, so maybe he may make a mistake.
Right, or not even a mistake, but to invent a whole new kind of thing just based on a rebuy from psukim,
why should he come up with such a thing?
Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, "Veloy, you're telling me that not? I'll give you an example where you have blood that goes partly above and partly below. We have by the korbanos of Yom Kippur. His imenu achas lamayla b'sheva lamata. What the Kohen does, the sprinklings of the blood of the par and the sir, one above and seven below. And one above means that he does above the level of the kaporis, and below, the Gemara is assuming at least that lamayla means above the level of the kaporis, the lid of the oren, and then sheva lamata means below that, and therefore you have it. Some are above and some are below. And the answer is that's not what it means. It means kematzlif, like we say in Yom Kippur davening and in the Avodah, which comes from the Mishnah over there, that he's doing kematzlif, that he's doing like a person whipping. And my kematzlif, machvir Rabbi Yehuda, kiminagadna. It means like a person whipping where he starts higher up and goes further down. So he's not specifically meaning that some of it should be above the level of the kaporis and some below the half. What it means is just that he's a. It means just lamayla would mean that he puts his hand like this. Like this. He's facing his hand downward and flicking it upward and flicking the blood upward with his finger. And he does lamata means the other way around. He holds his hand like this and flicks it downward. But there's no specific thing. All of them are going to land wherever they land. There's no specific thing that they're going to. Some of them are going to be above this level and some of them are going to be below that level. They could end up in some places it talks about they might.
What's the English translation of matzlif?
Matzlif means like a person whipping.
Whipping.
So he starts. So the Gemara asks, Tosfos in fact points out, what was the Gemara even wondering? It says right there in the Mishnah when it says Achmaila Veshev Lamata. It says right there, Loyem Eskaven Lahazus Loylamaila Veloymata Elakmatzlif. So Tosfos explains that actually what it means is that what the Gemara had assumed, fine, that we know it says in the Mishnah to Matzlif, but still maybe that means he intends that some of the blows should go further up on the back and some of them further down, which would be, and again we're saying over here, some higher up, some lower down.
How's it like whipping?
Yeah, like whipping, like doing like this, like a flip with his finger, yeah. So now the answer is, Tosfos says that no, we're saying Timinagadna, when Rabbi Yehuda explains it means like a person whipping, means he's doing it all in the same place. So he literally brings from the Oruch, he lifts up his hand, and then he does a downward motion and strikes with it, but all in the same place. He brings from the Yerushalmi, that means he reaches down all the way to his navel, all the way to further down on his body. But the point is, he's not specifically meaning that some of them should be further up on the body and some further down. They'll land wherever they land, or maybe they'll land in a straight line, let's say, but there's no particular thing that some of them are meant to be in this part and some of them in that part. So therefore, that doesn't violate this rule that we're saying over here in the Gemara, that we can't have some on the top half and some on the bottom half. Okay, the Gemara says, what about the, here's another one, also from the Korbanos of Yom Kippur. He's an Al-Torah Shemizdeh Hashem upon him. And eventually, after he does the other Matonis in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and in the Kodesh, then the Kohen Gadol takes the blood, the myth, at this point, the blood of the Par and the Sur have been mixed, and he sprinkles it on the Tohoroi of the Mizbeach seven times. So what does this word Tohoroi mean? My love, a Palgid Mizbeach. Doesn't that mean that he does it on the midpoint of the height of the Mizbeach? And why would Tahara mean the middle? Kedami in she Tahar Tiara Diyoma. As people use the word Tiara to mean the middle of the day, to mean literally Tiara means purity. So it means like when the sun is most pure and clear in the middle of that, and then at Chatzos Hayom. So therefore, now the point is, Rashi says, if you're going to be sprinkling along the middle of the height of the Mizbeach HaZahav was 2 amas tall. So if he has to be sprinkling of approximately an amma above from the floor, approximately an amma above the floor, inevitably some of the sprinklings are going to go above the midpoint.
Mizbeach HaZahav was 2 amas?
Yeah. Amma Orkei v'amma Rochkei v'amma Sayin Temasa.
That's the same thing as Mizbeach.
Yeah.
Most picture of digging.
The Yechezkel, actually, when he describes the third verse mitzvah, Shibonim Meher Yemenu, he has the expression on his Mizbeach Eitz and describes it a little differently, and that's the passage that ends by Dabra Eliza Shulchan Asher Lefnei Hashem. The Foshim discuss over there whether, in fact, he's discussing the Shulchan or the Mizbeach HaZahav. He does give different measurements for it than in the Torah. What does that mean exactly? But in any case, yeah, the Mizbeach HaZahav, as described in the Torah, in Parshas Tetzaveh, is 2 amas tall, yeah. By the way, in Yuma, the Gemara discusses, when it talks over there about the Kohen Gadol also had to take the blood of the Chatas and daub it on the four corners of the Mizbeach there as well, did he actually walk around that Mizbeach, or did he just reach over? Yes, because this Mizbeach is so small, he could conceivably stand at one corner and reach around to all the four corners and then walk the blood on the family. The Gemara even brings over there, actually, in Yuma. The Gemara brings over there. There were two surviving Kohenim, two Kohenim Gedolim who survived the Churban Beis Hamikdash. Different Gersoris over there, whether the first or the second. The Gemara discusses over there, again, what should he do? Should he be walking around, or should he be standing in one place, reaching over? And the Gemara says there were two Kohenim Gedolim who survived the Churban, and one day they were talking and comparing notes, like what they did in the Avodah back in the day, and one of them says, V'yada Hikafti, and the other one says, V'ragla Hikafti. So we see that both of them are valid, in fact, to walk around or to just stand in one place and reach over. But yeah, you could do that because the Mizbeach HaZahav is only 1 amma by 2 ammas. Yeah. Anyway, the point is, Rashi says, if he's doing sprinklings along at the midpoint of the height of the Mizbeach, inevitably some of them are going to go on the top half and some of them are going to go on the bottom half. So if that's the case, then you do have a case where blood goes on the top half and on the bottom half. That's the point of Rashi. Tosfos says, another way of looking at it is because what does the Kohen Gadol do with the Mizbeach HaZahav over there? First he daubs on the four corners of the Mizbeach. Again, on the Kronos, which the Kronos are towards the top of the Mizbeach. Then we're saying he's sprinkling on Torah Shem Mizbeach, which we assume means the side. So in that case, it is lower down. First he's doing the top half, the Kronos, and then he's doing further down in the midpoint of the Mizbeach. So you see, there are some that are above and below. In the same carbon. And the answer is no. The answer is Omar Rav Bar Shiva Loi Agiluya. No, the word in the Mishnah when it says he's al Torah Shem Mizbeach means on the cleaned off surface of the Mizbeach. So it means the top surface. So it is all on the top half, both the Kronis and that. There's nothing along the wall of the Mizbeach. Above, below the Kronis. What the word Tare means the pure surface of the Mizbeach. In other words, first he moves away all of the ashes and then burnt leftovers of Tareis over there, and then he sprinkles the blood directly on that. As we see, the word Torehar is used of the purity of Shemayim that they saw by Matan Torah. So we say, so that's what Tare Shem Mizbeach means. So yes, we still don't have a case where you have any blood that goes partly on the top half of the Mizbeach and partly on the bottom half. So therefore, we have no reason to say by a chatas that the Torah would be telling us that you could do that. If the Torah is telling us over and over, v'chiper, 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 then it must mean in order to tell us that you could leave out some of those matonas altogether and the Kohen would still be kosher. Okay, the Gemara asks about ikashirayim. How about another case, though? Consider the case where you do a chatas, the blood goes on the kronis, on the top half of the mizbeach, and afterwards you pour the shirayim. Shira adama yishayfet, ayisod jeremi. The yisod, of course, is on the bottom half of the mizbeach. So you see, there is a case where you put blood on the top half and the bottom half. And the Gemara answers that. Shirayim loy ma'akvi. Not putting the shirayim on the yisod is not ma'akvi the kapara. It's part of the mitzvah, but nevertheless, once the blood was placed on the top half where it's supposed to go, then the korban is kosher. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you can shirayim apnimim, but what about, though, you have the shirayim from the korbanos, again, from the chatoris apnimius, the korbanos of Yom Kippur, and the other ones, we're also shirayim adama yishayv v'chayisod ma'ar rov yishom ezbecha chitzen, and now it's true, we say in Ezra Mekoyman, im loy nosam la'ikev, but not everybody agrees to that. The ikalim demanda omar ma'akvi. There is, in fact, an opinion, when we get to this in Ezra Mekoyman, that pouring the shirayim when it comes to the chatoris apnimius is ma'akvi. That's the opinion of Rav Nechemya, the Gemara is going to bring over there. So therefore, you do have a case. So you're putting blood on the top half of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, on the Kronos and on the top surface of the Mizbeach, as we just said, and then you're going and pouring the rest of it onto the Yisoid of the Mizbeach HaChitzin, which is the bottom half. At a point of Rav Nechemya, that's Ma'akiv. So there you go. You have blood going on the top half and on the bottom half in the same korban. And the answer is b'chad mokim kamenim. Okay, but we're talking about in one place, on one mizbeach. You never find that the Torah tells you to put blood on the top half and the bottom half of the same mizbeach in a way that it should be ma'akiv. Even in this case, Rav Nechemya is saying it's ma'akiv by the chatoris apnimius, fine, but that's two different mizbeaches. So that's not a problem to have two different places where you have to apply the blood. So therefore, we're back to that there's no reason to say that the Torah should be telling you that with chatas you do have to do all four matanis, but some of them can be above and some of them can be below. Rather, we should learn from those v'chikers that it means that you can skip some of them and the korban is still kosher as long as you get at least one, and therefore, so you have three times v'chiper to tell you can leave three of the four of them out and the korban is still kosher, according to the civil. Okay? So now, talking about this machlokas b'shama b'sivil, Tanya Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, b'shama, and let's summarize what b'shama and b'sivil say on the subject. B'shama'im, shtei matonis shebachatas, v'achas shebachol azvachim, the two matonis that they require when it comes to achatas, and the one that they agree is the minimum required by all other korbanos, matiris, first of all, those are matir that now you can burn the emurim on the mizbeach, and you can eat the meat. Umafaglois, and those are the applications of blood where if he does them with a thought of pig or with a thought of chutzas mano, will make the korban pigle, as opposed to Rashi says, but Shammai is saying. So in other words, what we're saying is, you need both of them to be matir. If you only did one application of blood by a chatas, the Shammai is saying, like they said in the Mishnah, that's not good enough, and therefore the korban is not kosher yet. But also, on the other hand, you need both of them to be with a thought of pigle. Rashi says, ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir. The Gemara mentions a point several times in this Masechta that there's an opinion, ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir, it's not possible to make a korban pigle with a thought of chutzas mano that applies to only part of the matir. So, for example, here, according to Beit Shammai, you need two applications, at least, of blood in order to make a chatas kosher. Therefore, only one of them is called only half of the matir. And if he has in mind chutzas mana in one of them and not in the other one, then the korban will not be pigled. In a similar vein, you have, for example, let's say the Gemara discusses in Menachos, by a mincha, for example, you also have two matirim. You have the koimetz that has to be burnt on the mizbeach, and the levoina that goes with the korban that has to be burnt on the mizbeach. And if he has in mind only by the koimetz or only by the levoina, a thor, chutz manu, then it won't make the korban pigul for the same reason, ein mefaglin machzi matir. Tosfos discusses that and says, how do we know? Maybe Bishamai means we'll talk about that after the Gemara asks on Bishamai.
Pigul you learn from which pasuk?
You learn from Pigul from Lo Yechoshev.
So what makes us decide?
Because by the Shlomim you only have one matir. You have Shtei Matonas Shtei Nahara, and as we've been establishing all along in this parak, one matana b'dievet is enough to make the korban kosher. So you only have one matir. Once that blood is sprinkled, the korban is kosher. Therefore, we learn from that.
Where does it say Lo Yechoshev?
It by the Shlomim. The Gemara had gone, actually, in the second parak, Rava had gone through a long drasha, explaining over there how we learn all the details of pigul and of chutz mana and chutz makoyim from that pasuk. And one point is that a shlomim has only one matter. So we learn from that that if there's more than one matter, then ein mefaglin machzi matter. Now, again, not everyone agrees to that, but we're saying over here, Rashi is explaining it in accordance with that opinion. So we'll talk in a minute about what Tosfos has to say on the subject. Anyway, so Bishamai says that Maktirois, those two things, those two matonis, are needed in the case of a chatas for it to be kosher, or Mefaglois, but vice versa, those two are needed to have with the thought of chutzas manai in order to be pigul.
And even though it says Bashlamim, it applies to all korbanos?
Yeah, because the Gemara explains that we learned that we have, first of all, we have a hekesh from a shlamim to all the korbanos. So in general, unless otherwise specified, dinim that apply to a shlamim apply to all korbanos. We have that as well.
Dinim that apply to a shlamim apply
to all korbanos. Not always, but the Gemara had used that in the first parak, for example, to teach us that in the same way, the Gemara had learned by Shlomim that even if the Avodas are done Shalom L'Shmo, the Korban is still kosher, and the Gemara learns from that to most other Korbanas, except for the Pesach and the Chatas, which have special Pesukim by them, that they have to be L'Shmon, and then you had different opinions in the first parak about other Korbanas that have to be L'Shmo as well. But yeah, there's a general rule that because of that Hekish, things that apply to a Shlomim apply to most other Korbanas. Yeah. So that's Vishamai. Vishiloloimim, and Vishilol says, like they said in the Mishnah, Achas Shevachatas, the Achas Shevacholazvach, and Materas and Fagyalas. The one application of blood when it comes to other korbanos, and even the one by the Chatas, because again, as we just worked out, various ways in which Vishilol knows that one Matana is good b'dievet by a Chatas as well, so those are also Materas, those make the korban mutter to eat, or to bring a murim on the Mizbeach, and to eat the meat, or Mfagyalas. And that can also make the korban pigul. We don't care what happened, as long as you don't have. Now, we learned before that if there was a different machshava that can cancel out the pigul, then fine, it does that. Machshava might see midday machshava. But the point is, in other words, this Hillel is saying, as they said in the Mishnah, that if he did one matana with a thought of pigul, and the other one's not thinking anything, then the korban is still pigul. Because you don't have any other, unlike the Shammai, who was saying, again, ein mefaglin machzi matir, that it wouldn't work because he's only doing pigul in half of the matir. So the Gemara says, Maskefer of Oshia. So Rav Oshia says, wait a minute. You're telling me, in other words, so again, according to this Shammai, it comes out, you have a Chumrah, but you also have a Kula. You have a Chumrah because if you don't do both applications of blood of a Chatas, then the Korban is possible. And by the way, that doesn't just mean that they have to be done. It means they have to be done in the proper way. They have to be done by a Kohen, wearing the Kahuna, who's not Tomei, who's not any of the other kind of Psulim, can't be done at night. The Gemara is going to give a whole list, too. So that's a Humrah. On the other hand, it comes out of Kula from it. Because according to this Shammai, if he had a thought of Chutzas Manai by the first application of blood and not by the second, the Korban won't be pickled. The person won't be Chayav Kares for eating it. So Rav Oshia says, Imkain, Lisniye Gabu Kula Bes Shammai Bechum Bes Hillel. Then why is this not listed in the Sefer Adius with the other cases where Bes Shammai is Mekel and Bes Hillel is Machmir? The answer is Amalei Rava. So Rava answers Ki Itchel Lahetere Itchel. When the question was first brought up in the Beis Medrash, it was first asked as far as whether what's needed in order for the emurim and the meat to be kosher to do the next thing with, the emurim to burn on the mizbeach and the meat to eat. And there, the havalo, the shamer lechumra. In that case, the shamer comes out as being machmir because they were the ones who are saying that if only one matana of blood was done, it's not good enough. Yes, it emerges from it a kula, but it's not listed among their kulas because it's not the original thing that they were asked about. In fact, one of the Mephoroshim says, maybe even in Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov's Braisa, when he says in Bishamai's words, Mephaglos, maybe that's not even part of Bishamai's original statement, we can just derive it from what they said. The Gemara mentions elsewhere, you have this kind of thing, where, for example, you can have a din, that there's a chumre in one aspect and a kula in another aspect. The Gemara mentions that, for example, you have another example the Gemara brings is in the case of if a skull is missing a certain amount of, is missing a certain size of a certain size of bone, then an animal that's like that would be trait. And the Shama actually not actually have in the case of a shedra, in the case of a spine. If it's, how many vertebrae does it have to be missing in order for the animal to be trait? You have a machloikus, Shama Basil. Then you have that affects also as far as a human spine. If it's missing one or two vertebrae, what's needed for it to be missing in order for it not to be matame anymore just by itself. And again, you have the same machloka. So Gemara points out that there also you have a kula in one results in a chumra in the other way around. If you say one vertebra missing is enough to make the animal trait, then one vertebra missing is also enough to make that the spine by itself is not going to be matame, and vice versa. So the Gemara says over there that if a person were to follow both kulas, then he would be considered a rasha, because he's contradicting himself. And if he tries to follow both chumras, then the Gemara calls him ksil b'choshech leilech, is a fool who walks in darkness. So in the same vein over here, if a person were to think to follow this shamai, and say you need two matonis for the chatas, but also say, well, until you do both of them, then the korban is not kosher to eat. But on the other hand, when it comes to pigul, we'll say that only that having a machshava of pigul by only one of them is enough. That would be what the Gemara calls ksil b'choshech leilech, and vice versa, then etc. Tosfos brings up the question, why didn't the Gemara assume that maybe this Shammai's words mefaglos means one of them is enough to make it pigul? And in that case, it comes out that Shammai is being machmir across the board. They're saying you need both of them, but nevertheless, a thought of pigul on only one of them is enough to make it pigul. Why are we assuming that it means that they say that both of them he has to have the thought of pigul? So Tosfos explains, because first, this Hillel says, we show him a fagelis. The first one is enough to make it pigul. That implies that according to this Shammai, this Shammai should have said, but he's shown him a lot of shnia, and also the fact that it says, the fact that we have matiros, umafaglos, both of them, and this Shammai is saying matiros means both of them are needed for it to be mutter, we have a right to assume that mafaglos means both of them are needed for it to become pigul. And Tosfos goes on to discuss that point.
The
parallel Lashon, Matir Lois and Mufag Lois suggests that, yeah, both of them, the same way as both of them are clearly needed, according to Bishama, for the Korban to be mutter, to be kosher, the same way both of them are needed for it to be pivotal, and not just one. So the Gemara continues, Amar Rav Yochanan, Shalosh Matonis Shebachatois, the remaining three by a Chatas, where we're saying that if you left those out, then the Korban is still kosher. And this is true of other Korbanis as well, but he's mentioning a Chatas because he's going to mention a point over here, La'acha Misa, which is unique to a Chatas. So Rav Yochanan says, first of all, Einen Bois Falayla, those three cannot be done by night. Now, it is true that, we're saying, according to this Hillel, and this is halacha, you need only one matana by a chatas, and then the korban is kosher. Nevertheless, the three, even though they're not ma'akiv, you still can't do them after shkia, because the blood itself becomes possible by shkia. So you can't do them at night. You're not supposed to put possible blood on the mizbeach, after all. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan says you could do those three applications after the owner died. Now, if the owner of most korbanos, if the animal died, big deal. The yoshim can still bring the korban. The Gemara discussed that in the first peg. A chatas, though, one of the cases where we have a chatas actually has to be locked up in a room and left to die, is chatas shemesu baleha, where the owner died not having brought the korban. So if the owner dies before the zrika has been accomplished, the korban has not been brought yet. So therefore, here, the korban has already been shed. chest. It obviously, you don't lock it up to die, but it means, in other words, in that case, the blood has to be just spilled out into the ammo, into the water channel in the besmikdash, and the korban, you can't continue the korban. But once, Rav Yochanan is saying, once one application of blood has been done, even if the guy dies, you can still do the other three. Ayas la'achamisa, that doesn't matter. The blood does not become possible just because the owner died, and therefore you're allowed to do those remaining applications of blood. On the other hand, if a person were to do those three applications of blood outside the Azara, then he would be chayev, because these are the general rule is, whenever you have something roi lovi bifnim, something that could have been brought inside the Azara as a kosher korban, and instead he does it outside the Azara, then he's chayev kares for it. So here, these three matones, even though they're not ma'akev by the chatas, nevertheless, they could have been done inside, and therefore if he does them outside, then he's chayev chatas for them. Okay, so in other words, we have to consider, in other words, these three matonis, on the one hand, they're not active, on the other hand, to a certain extent, they do have the din of full-fledged matonis. And Omer Apapa, and Apapa continues, yesh mehen kitchil, the way we can look at it, yesh mehen kitchilosev, yesh mehen kisoyfev. We can say, among these three matonis, the remaining three matonis, some of them are considered like the beginning, they have the same din as the first matona. And some of them, the yesh mehen kesoifei, others are considered like the shirayim, where we said before that by chafas chitzona, the shirayim are not ma'akev at all. What does that mean? Chutz. So here, Rabbi Yochanan given a short list. Now Rabbi Papa is going to give a longer list. Chutz. If a person does them outside the Azara, then he's chayev kares. The Lila, you're not allowed to do them at night because, again, like we said, the blood becomes possible by shkia. Kli Sharis, the three, even though they're not ma'akev, if you're going to do them, have to be done from a Kli Sharis. Keren, they do have to be done on the corners of the Mizbeir. The Etzba, they do have to be done with the Kohen's finger. And another din, Kibus, another din, which was going to be discussed more extensively later in the Masechta, is Kibus. The Torah tells us that if blood of a chata squirts onto clothing, then you have to take that clothing and wash it of the blood in the Azara. What I was going to have later on, there's going to be a perek that deals in detail with those din. So here, even these three matonis, so here he did one matona, the korban is kosher, nevertheless, if the remaining blood squirts onto clothing, that clothing will have to be washed inside the Azara, because again, that blood could have been sprinkled on the Mizbeach. The Shirayim, and you still have the din of Shirayim by all of them, meaning we had previously, if a few blocks ago, that suppose he received the blood of the Chatos in different containers, in different kosas, as the Gemara calls them, literally meaning cups, and they did one matana from each one, since each one has had blood applied to the Mizbeach from it, so all of them have the Kedusha to have the remainder of them poured on the Yesod. So that would apply to all of these three. So again, even in other words, he had four cups, each with some of the blood of the chatas. He did one matana from one of them. At that point, the korban is kosher, and we can burn the emurim and eat them. The koyanim can eat the meat. Nevertheless, if he does go ahead and do the other three, then that makes the shirayim able to be poured on the yisoid. So all of those, kitchilos, and all of those are like the original, all of those are like the first matana. On the other hand, Misa, on the other hand, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, if the owner died, you can still do the other three, which would not be the case with the first one. Loishaya, another point is that these three matonis are not makir, the meat to eat, because the meat is already mutter at that point, so those three are not accomplishing, anything more as far as making the meat mutter to eat, because it was already mutter to eat by virtue of the first one. So in that sense, in other words, these three matanas are like the shirayim in that once the meat is mutter, it doesn't become more mutter as a result of that. So in that sense, that's going to be in Rav Papa's list of things that in which it's like the shirayim. Actually the Mitziv gives a different explanation. He says it means, suppose he did the first matana in the wrong part of the Mizbeach, We're there. The Gemara had explained earlier. The Gemara had explained in the second parak that the korban is kosher because shaloi b'mekayma to the papa himself, etc. There shaloi b'mekayma to mekayma dummy. The blood is considered as though it was placed in the right place, and therefore the korban is kosher. But you can't eat the meat. Now the point is, even if he did the other three in the proper places, nevertheless the korban can't become mutter because it already became possible by virtue of that first one. Not possible, possible to eat by virtue of that first one. And now we can't fix it up afterwards by putting it in the proper places. Anyway, so that's another din in which it's like the Shirayim. The Loy Mefagla, those three are not able to make the korban pigle, because as we said, once the first matana was done, then it's too late to make the pigle anymore. The Loy Ayla Lagavoy, and you also don't have the din, generally by a pathos. If the blood was brought into the heichel, then the pathos becomes posel, and you're not allowed to eat it. So it tells us, the full chakas of the Yuvamidama, al oyo loyed, but if you have to burn it, but that wouldn't apply to the blood that's left after the first matana. If you took it into the heichel, it would not cause any problems with the korban, because again, the first application was done, and now the korban is already kosher. That would be kesoifun. That's like the end of things. So that's like the shirayim, just like after all four applications are done. If you did any of those things, it wouldn't be a problem to do the shirayim la'achamisa, or the thought of pigle wouldn't affect it, etc. So therefore, so this is the three are the same way. And the Papa Menam Minala, so the Papa says, where do I get this from? That this last three, in particular, let's focus on the one about kibbutz, the one we were saying that if the leftover blood after the first matana squirted onto clothing, then the clothing has to be washed in the Azara. So where do I get that particular? So the other ones, in other words, it seems logical enough. For example, the fact that you can pour the shirayim after that, you can do the three matonis after the guy died. Yeah, there's no reason that the blood would become possible just because he died. Once the korban was already kosher, it can't retroactively become possible. But where am I getting the point about kibbutz? So he says, Zitznan, we learn in the Mishnah later in Armasaf, and when we deal with these dinim in detail, Nitas minat savar ala beged, if the blood squirted directly from the neck onto the clothing, ain a ton kibbutz, then it does not have to be washed in the Azara. Because the Gemara learns later that what kind of blood needs to be washed in the off the clothing in the Azara is dafka when it was capable of being sprinkled on the Mizbeach. And if it comes directly from the neck, then it's not, because it has to be received in a Kli Sharis. First, we had earlier in the second paragraph where the Mishnah had said if the blood squirted directly from the neck onto the floor, then it's possible. So by the same token of you, it squirted directly onto a piece of clothing, then it's possible. So therefore, you don't need to do that. And the Mishnah continues. Mina Keren, if the blood squirts off the corner of the Mizbeach, so the Kohen had put the blood of a Chatas on the corner, and then some of that blood accidentally got on clothing, or from the blood on the Yisoid, also Ein Torah Kibbutz, then also you don't need to wash it, because then the mitzvah has already been accomplished with the blood, and the Pasuk says, I should use that, that will be sprinkled, meaning not where it was already sprinkled. Now, so the Papa points out, so the implication is, any blood that's still suitable to be putting on the Keren, Torah Kibbutz. It sounds like the Mishnah is implying that it does need Kibbutz. So therefore, these three, they are perfectly capable of being put on the Keren. We're not required to make the korban kosher, but nevertheless, the normal thing would be that you would do that. Therefore, logically, if that blood now gets onto clothing, then you need to wash it in the Azara. But the Gemara says that's not really a proof. The Litaimech knew, and according to your logic that you're using, that you're trying to derive from that Mishnah, so you would say that blood from the Yisoid, we're saying once it was already on the Yisoid, then you don't have to wash it in the Azara. Does that mean that blood that's going to be poured on the Yisoid, the Shirayim, if some of it gets on clothing, would need to be washed? Why? Why? The Pasuk says that it will be sprinkled, and once you get to the point of Shirayim, then already all the applications of blood have been done. All the ones that are necessary for the korban, or even all the ones that are the main part of the korban. So on the face of it, even the blood that's going to be put on the Yisoid after the main matonis have been done should not require kibbutz. So just because the Mishnah says from the Yisoid doesn't mean to exclude the case where it's going to be poured on the Yisoid. So how can the Papa learn from that Mishnah, infer from that Mishnah that there should be a difference between blood that's already on the Keren versus going to be placed on the Keren? On the face of it, this Mishnah has to be like Reb Nechemia. Like we said before, Ditnan Shire. Ditnan, we talked before about Reb Nechemia holding that the Shirayim are Ma'akiv, and Reb Nechemia says, Reb Nechemia, Shire Hadam Shire Kruven Machotz Chayev, that if a person were to take the Shirayim, now he agrees by Chafes Chatzonis that the Shirayim pouring them on the Yisod is not Ma'akiv. Nevertheless, he says, if a person were to pour the Shirayim outside the Azara, he would be Chayev Paris. So we see that according to him, the Shirayim is something that still is considered connected enough to the Mizbeach, that it's really lover b'fnim, and therefore a person is Chayav Paris for doing it outside the Azara. Well, by the so therefore, that Mishnah would be only appointed of Nechemim. So how is Rapapa used? So therefore, by the same token, then Rapapa should not be able to bring a proof from it that there should be a difference between the blood that's already on the Keren, where now if that gets on clothing, it's not Tolan Kibbles, versus where it's going to be placed on it, the remaining three Matonis, that it should. Not necessarily can you infer that from this Mishnah. But the Gemara says that's not really a valid counter argument against Reb Papa, because Eimer de Shamet the Reb Nechemia halah. Fine, you find that Reb Nechemia holds when it comes to offering it outside the Azara. Midi to have a Ivorim Updorim. Because you could say it's no different than the limbs of an Ola or the facts of the Imurim of other Chatois, of other Tavonis. Those are not Ma'akid, and yet obviously everybody agrees if a person offers them outside of his Mekdash, he's certainly Chayev Paris. So you see, just because something is not Ma'akid, whether something is Ma'akid, the Korban or not, has nothing to do with whether a person is Chayev Paris for offering it outside of his Mekdash. By the same token, Reb Nechemia might say, given that the blood of the Shirayim is going to be poured on the Yisoid, so fine, it's not ma'akev, but nevertheless he can hold that it's still, that a person is still chayav paris for bringing it outside the Azara, just as he would with the pieces of the korban. But in kibbutz and shamatlei, do you ever find that Reb Nechemia says, when it comes to kibbutz, that he should consider the blood that's going to be put on the Yisoid, the Shirayim that are going to be poured on the Yisoid, that they should have the same din as far as kibbutz? Where there you're saying that it seems that the Mishnah, the fact is the kibbutz is only for blood that's going to be sprinkled, not blood that's going to be poured on the Yisoid. So therefore, the papa's inference from the Mishnah might be valid after all, even if you say the Mishnah is not necessarily like Reb Nechemia. That Mishnah later on about Mina Yisoid Eina Torah Kibbutz, even Reb Nechemia would not necessarily hold that blood that's going to be poured on the Yisoid shouldn't require Kibbutz. Maybe he holds it does, and therefore the Papa's inference is valid also as far as the three Matonis. Now this is all according to Rashi. Tosfos has a problem with understanding the Gemara this way, because if the Gemara is saying that the Mishnah is like Reb Nechemia, and therefore we slog up Reb Papa's proof, then the Gemara should have said Ela. The Gemara should have said there should have been an Ela somewhere in the room. So rather, Tosfos explains the other way around. The fact that we're saying, like the Hamani Reb Nechemia, is not a question on Reb Papa. On the contrary, it's part of the proof for him. Since we find that Reb Nechemia holds that, blood that is going, that's offered, the Shirayim that's offered outside the Azara is Chayev, therefore we should assume that the same thing is true. We should assume that there is a connection. Anything that's chayiv b'chutz, anything where you need chayiv kares for offering it outside the Azara, then it requires kibbutz if the blood of that kind of chatas lands on the clothing. But then when the Gemara says Eimer de Shamat Reb Nechemia, is a question on that maybe not. Maybe there's not a connection between these two things. And so the Gemara will continue showing that yes, Reb Nechemia does hold that Reb Nechemia does in fact hold that there is a connection between these two things. So we'll continue that tomorrow, Rabbi Hashem.
Yeah.